Good evening. Tonight's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25 through to verse 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" he answered. "Love the Lord with Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
It's not enough to just sit in a radio station and broadcast to people. Messages have to have hands and feet. They need to reach out in love. So before we do any programs in any part of the world, our teams go down and they spend time with the people. What are your issues? Now, if I came here as a pastor of this church, I'd want to know what are the issues in Castle Hill and surrounding areas. Well, because I lived in this area, I know some of them. Because I passed it on the Central Coast for many, many years, I know that they're the same issues, but they're a lot more raw up there. They're not placated by finances and wealth and other things that can be here. But then how do you break through those barriers here? How do you connect with people and their life? So our team spend time with people. And they do interviews and they come back and they prepare programs that speak into their hearts and lives, and they go back again and run listener meetings and connect them with the local church. That's our greatest partner on the field. So the 2,000 listener groups that I talked about in Malawi, Mozambique, are all led by pastors or leaders from those churches, whether they be Presbyterian or Methodist or AOG or Baptist, or all the pastors we meet with and we talk to, and then they follow them up. It's very, very important. Tonight, I just want to share on a simple theme, on love. Okay? I want to share on this theme because it's important that we hear it all the time, but that we live it out. I was in pastoral ministry and consultant within our Baptist denomination of New South Wales and the ACT and all of those things for over 20 years. But I have learnt that it's not so much head knowledge we need. We need to put our faith into action. We need to live it out. So I want to do that, and I want to illustrate that tonight with a couple of different things. Firstly, Mother Teresa says this: not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I love that quote. Not all of us can do great things, but we can all do something with great love. We all need that. As you walk in here tonight, you know, one of the things that I've realised in church life, you know, the thing that makes a good service from a bad service? Sadly, it's not always the pastor and the sermon that they've preached. It's the connection you've had with people. You know, my wife and I can go to a church and visit around different places, and the thing that we'll walk, wasn't that a lovely service today? Well, why was it lovely? Well, we got into that conversation with those people and we connected with them, and that's what makes the difference. Community. community, being able to connect with people. So I want to share tonight on this theme, very simple. Very simple. God loves you and your call is to love others. And I want to illustrate it with two people, Mo and Sharon and Natalia. Mo and Sharon are refugees in Indonesia. Now, you will hear a lot about it, not so much as much in this election, but the previous election. You know, they labelled them boat people and refugees. Well, I've spent time with these refugees, Farsi-speaking refugees. You're aware there's over 10,000 people on the shores of Indonesia that, yes, they were at one stage looking to come to Australia, by all means. They're not political, they're not economic refugees. They're refugees because either politics, they disagree, either because of religion, rather than being Shiite, they're Sunni. Often it's because of they fall in love, like Mo and Sharon. They fall in love. They met at a theological college in Egypt, and because they wanted to marry, and she was promised to an older uncle, they had one of two choices. Either they go back to Iran and he goes to prison and she marries an older uncle, or they escape. That was their choice. So I've sat with these guys. I've had Farsi barbecues with these guys. Farsi is the word for the Persians. So whether it be Afghanistan or Iran or parts of Turkey that speak the Farsi language, right? And these people are beautiful people. Beautiful people. But they have no future. They're now in Indonesia. I've met many people who have lost little children on boats that are capsized. It is good that the boats ceased. Absolutely. So many lost family members when they capsize because they only take 40 people and they're crowded over 100. Tragic. But do you realise that these refugees in Indonesia have no right to medical care? If they want to have a baby, they've got to be able to provide the finances themselves somehow. Their children are not allowed to go to school and take the place of an Indonesian child in a school, and they're not allowed to earn money. They're not even allowed to sell souvenirs on the side of the road, or they'll be thrown in prison or immediately deported. But they have refugee status. Anyone who comes into Indonesia and says that they claim refugee status, they can, but how do they live? So let me tell you, it's the local churches there and missions like ours that are supporting refugees in Indonesia. And Mo and Sharon are just a beautiful couple. Let me spin over to Ukraine, where the war is still taking place, people. Might not be on our media channels, but the pro-Russian rebels and the Ukrainians are still at war in the eastern provinces. And Natalia, you remember in that video, maybe not, at the beginning where it showed a photo and it said one of our broadcasters was martyred for his faith? Our broadcasters mainly are volunteers. So you imagine this. Imagine if Castle Hill is relocated into Ukraine and two of the deacons here in the church and two of the pastor's sons decide to do the radio programs to the surrounding conflicted areas. Then the pro-Russian rebels come, they blow up the tower, they look for the people who are doing the broadcast, they take the two pastor's sons and they take the deacons and they kill them. Natalia, and you'll see there, there's photos of her wedding. Natalia and her teenage children were a part of that. They blew up our tower. Natalia, get this. Rather than just now, she's lost her husband. Her husband was an evangelist. He was so, great communicator, so on fire for God. So rather than just then spend her time in isolation, she now takes bags with care packages to the soldiers on the front line where they are fighting. And in those care packages, she has a radio, she has some food, she has a Bible, she has all bits and pieces for them. She takes it to the front line. Why? Because she loves them. She cares about them. Because a lot of the soldiers are only 18 years of age, and one of the biggest issues they're facing is suicide, because it's an internal, like, civil war conflict, and they're killing people that they may have grown up with, and they cannot handle the grief. Why do they do it? Well, I think Paul summed it up, you know, for the love of Christ compels us. They cannot. The reason why Mo and Sharon in Indonesia as refugees have started a church to the refugees is out of love for their people. The reason why Natalia, with just a single mum now with her children, is ministering is because she loves her country and her people. Matthew 22, where Jesus says the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. I'm going to go through some very familiar verses, but listen to them in the context of what I'm talking about. Jesus said the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is love me and to love others. So it's really easy sermon tonight. The question is, are you? Are you? Young man just read the parable of the Good Samaritan to us. And the teacher there says, well, who is my neighbour? Because Jesus just goes through and says a slight difference there. Love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. And he says, well, you know, being a legal, an expert in the law, he wants to push into this. Well, so Jesus, who is my neighbour? And again, I'm sure your senior pastor here has done an excellent exegetical job of pulling that apart at various times, or you've heard it in messages at other times. I'm not going to go through the story, just to highlight the point. When he goes through the people that passed him by, the religious people, the priest, the Levite, who they walk past, and Jesus says, so who was a neighbour to this man that was beaten and robbed? Who was it? And the guy said, well, the one who cared for him, Samaritan. Smart, yeah, you got it. So go and do likewise. So people, again, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. Your neighbour. Well, quite honestly, geographically, Indonesia is our neighbour. Interesting, Far East Broadcasting Company, FEBC, used to be called Far East because I guess the work was looking at the Far East and the Far East sort of spice trade. Well, now for us, it's our near north, right? But how well do we love our neighbour? How well do you love your neighbour? How well do you love the people within this community? How well do you have a heart for the people of our world, because we're so protectionist to want to safeguard everything that we have? I love this definition of what your neighbour is. Our neighbour is anyone in need that we are in a position to help. Our neighbour is anyone in need who we are in a position to help. John Stott said, Scriptures speak not of survival of the fittest, but protection of the weakest. How well are we going on this front, really, as Christians, as believers? I've got to tell you that I get emails at the moment all the time, because there were a lot of people, you know, and I don't want to get political on all these things, but there are a lot of people around the world waiting on the outcome of the election in the hope that the understanding of a refugee might change, that the openness to those that are in difficulty might change. Those even in Australia who have lost rights and resources here that were refugees might change. Many things might change. Jesus said it this way as well. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you what? Love one another. You see, the thing that makes us stand apart as believers should be love. Not our arguments, not our rights, not our laws, but our love. Our love. Now, I draw your attention to this. In Acts 2. Let me read this. Okay. So in Acts chapter 2, we read, on the day of Pentecost, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Well, there's a trigger too, isn't it? Had everything in common. They shared because they had brotherly love. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Why? Why would they sell their possessions and their property? Because they loved people. How did they know they had a need? Because they loved them enough to know that they had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favour and goodwill of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why wouldn't he? Because love was permeated there. Early church father, Tertullian, the Romans would say this. This was the Romans' description of Christians. See how they love one another. What is it about these people? They just love one another. Well, imagine different communities saying that about us. What is it about these Christians that they just love each other? Sadly, is involved in church life, and now I get to speak in lots of different denominations around Australia, and there's no difference between any denomination. Sadly, it's look at how they argue with one another. Look at how they differ in their opinions with one another. Not look at how they love one another. You know, love used to be the characteristic of what Christians were known of. And it's what grew the church. So one of my majors when I was in seminary was church history. So I was looking through some of my church history notes, and let me read you this. It's in the third century. A devastating plague swept across the ancient world. And the Christians were the only ones who cared for the sick, which they did at the risk of contracting the plague themselves. Meanwhile, pagans were throwing out their infected members of their own families into the streets even before they died in order to protect themselves from the disease. Reminds me of the Monty Python movie, you know, they're throwing out the dead, you know. I'm not dead yet, is he? No. But that was the difference. They were sitting with them in the gutters. They were ministering to them. Where do you think the hospitals came from? It was Christians who were loving people. But how do we do that today? Like, where do we do that today? Well, let me show you a couple of modern day examples of that, the ones I mentioned before. Mo and Sharon. We do radio ministry where it varies from country to country. This is a very different situation. These guys came to me and said, Kevin, we want to do a radio program to our Farsi people. It's like you're in Indonesia, and the bulk of our programs are in Indonesian. We can't do programs in Farsi on the Indonesian radio. Ah, but Kevin, we want to do programs at like midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 a.m. Why would you want to do it then? Well, people can't work, and they sleep during the day because it's so hot, and they're actually active at night. So could we grab an hour or two then? Sure. Sure. But the program here is very different. First, they love people into the kingdom, and then the radio program is full-on discipleship, full-on Bible teaching, full-on training. But the first step is what's vital. They love them. They love them. And they love them, and they love them, and they love them, and they love them. And the church is seeing so many people come to Christ. These are Shiites that are coming to Christ. I've met so many of them. You know what breaks down the barrier? It's love. If you like your church here out in that area out there, and it's like you have your church service, and after church you all go out there and you run different things. They give out food, right? Or they'll give out second-hand furniture or clothes because they've got nothing, these people. And so people volunteer all this stuff, and these Muslim people come and take it. They think, if these Christians are stupid enough to give us this, We don't care. We're just going to take it. There's no preaching at them or anything. They just say, here it is. What do we have to pay? It's nothing. We just love you. Why do you love us? Because we love Christ. And he calls us to be a people of love. They can't get it. They don't get it. But bit by bit by bit, their heart starts to crack open because they don't know about a God of love. See? So they prepare big food for them. They teach them. They teach them Bahasa, Indonesian. They teach them English. It's absolutely amazing. And then they go to visit them. Who would visit, you know, Muslim people like that? They've got no family, but they do. And they go into detention centres. And they've done so many baptisms in detention centres, you wouldn't believe it. Unbelievable. They just love them. And this little thing here, if you can work it out, here's what's happened. They do the radio program, but they realise that there's people now that actually do get shipped back to Iran or Afghanistan. So they put their program on Telegram. It's just a mobile app like WhatsApp, like WeChat, like Kick, like whatever. But it's Telegram. It's encrypted. So now our program, look, 282 listeners in Netherlands, in Iran, Afghanistan, Malaysia, Thailand, Sweden, France. It's just going out throughout the world. We never imagined that. God is so awesome. You know, he does much more than we can imagine. That's an example. Or this, in the Ukraine, Natalia. This is what Slovansk looks like today. I visited Slovansk. That's what that word is there, Slovansk. That's what their buildings look like. Because that's where the rebels first entered, in Slovansk, and now they've been pushed out. And, you know, like around this area, I remember around this area in the Hills District, a lot of people got four-wheel drives. You need four-wheel drives there, people, because tanks are going over the roads and everything are going all over the place, right? And that's a husband. They were the four guys that I said. Two were pastor's sons and two were deacons. And now the church there opens up clothing stores because there's refugees there that have come from the conflicted areas into the main cities. And what do people have? They've got nothing. Their homes have been destroyed. And they're loving them. They're loving them and loving them and loving them and loving them and loving them. You want to change your neighbour? Your next door neighbour? Your neighbour that you work beside? Try loving them. Try not doing anything else but loving them. This is my command that I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you. Now, if you're a believer here tonight, you should be able to tap in to the enormous love that Jesus Christ has given to you through his sacrifice for you. So how well are you loving others? Let me kind of wrap up with two things. Love changes lives. This is dear to me, this subject. This is a personal testimony, all right? My father was changed by this very principle. I grew up in a family where my father was a cab driver. He was orphaned as a child. He was brought up as a Catholic. He didn't have much and he never really had an education. My dad's gone to glory now. But he couldn't really read and write. He never had an education. All he could do was print in block letters. That's all he could do. All he could read was the Daily Telegraph in his taxi. That's what he could do. And he met my mother. Get this, my mother was a good Brethren girl. And he got her pregnant when she was 16. And he was 17. So they weren't allowed to marry in a church and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And they were sort of shunned and... My mum ended up coming back to faith and she and her boys, yeah, they had three boys, which I'm one, and went to Sunday school. But my dad was always outside of that, never made a commitment to Christ. Christianity was just, what was it to him? He may have been even abused as a young boy, I don't know. And here's the only thing I can remember. Every church that we went to, whether it be, doesn't matter what denomination, my mum would... found a way back to Christ, and she would take my dad along. He would probably be, you know, Easter, Christmas, some of those times he'd go to church. But he was always seen as a target, like a target on his back, like a person to reach for Jesus. So people would meet him and, why don't you come and have a coffee or something? But their aim was to win him to Christ. That's what they wanted to do. Sure, their zeal might have been there, but their zeal wasn't to love him. Their zeal was to win him. Now, my dad mightn't have had much of education, but he had to have an education in life. He drove taxis all his life, and he knew what people's intent was. And so he would not have a bar of it. Not a bar of it. Okay, fast forward. I'm ministering up on the Central Coast. It's a low socioeconomic area. Great place to minister, but it's tough. And there's people in the church that have come from a pretty rag-bag sort of background. And many of them had come to Christ miraculously. So my mum and dad move up to the Central Coast. My dad used to, you know, like he was a gambler and a smoker and a drinker. That was some of my... He swore like a trooper. Bless him. That was my dad. So he goes up onto the Central Coast, and now he's in his late 60s. I think he just turned 70 or something. And these guys from the church started going around and play cards with him or even have a drink with him, you know, and they just loved him. They didn't do anything else, just loved him. They didn't try to win him. They just loved him. Pretty soon I hear that he's going to like this Bible study group. Like, my dad. Yeah. Kevin, you know what? We even got him to read the Bible. What? He can't read the Bible. Well, you know, and they didn't worry if he stuttered over words, if he couldn't get it right, he made a mess. Nobody laughed at him. They just cheered him on. They loved him. My dad came to faith. I can still remember in Gosford intensive care, my dad, because of his bad living and eating and drinking and smoking, and he was about to die, 73 years of age, and they called us together, the three brothers, my mum, we're gathered around the bed, and my dad looks up at me and says, Kevin, I want to be baptised. It's a great time to ask me now, Dad. You know, like he's got the respirator on, he's, you know. Now, here's another extra little bit I throw into the message tonight. This is what challenges your theology, right? So I'm a Baptist. What do we believe as Baptists as far as baptism is concerned? Baptism by immersion. Hello? We're in Gosford intensive care. And he's got respirators on him and wires, and the nurse there looks at me and she said, I'll do whatever you want. I said, well, can you remove the respirator and everything out of the way? Can you get the biggest container of water you can get? And so we put towels down, and I got this container of water, and I poured it over my dad in Gosford coronary care, intensive care. And I tell you, the countenance of his face, like I still remember it now, I'm telling you, it's like he glowed, you know. He'd been a Catholic boy, and symbolism and all that kind of stuff was very important for him. He never, even when he made a commitment to Christ, he never felt like he'd been forgiven. But when he was baptized, he did. Unbelievable. That's what love does. Love changes lives, people. So that's a simple message, right? God is at work throughout the world, and he is using people to love others. Whether they're caught in trafficking, they just need to be loved and know that they're made in the image of God, these women. They need to be loved. So many places. So I'll end now with one last thing, and it's I'll just preempt this. Is I'm going to show a little, it only goes for about a minute. We had a Russian director here in Australia not so long ago. And if you don't hear when it cuts in at the beginning, he says that he's preaching in Russia and he's talking about the five proofs of God's existence. This guy's got his doctorate in theology. He's a very smart guy. And he was doing this program on the five proofs of God's existence, right? But listen to what happened. So, hopefully it'll start, maybe. You might have to press the go button or something. Is it? Hello? Is it there? No? Okay. Well, let me tell you. I won't hold it up. He says this. He says, I'm preaching. It's better when he tells it because he's a Russian. And he speaks a great Russian, you know. So you get the effect. He's a big guy like a big Russian bear. But he says, I'm talking about the five proofs of God's existence. And one of them is talking about the impact of God's love, right? Now, they do talkback radio. It's very interactive, a way to be able to connect with your listener. So he says, we get a phone call from this woman. He says, you talk about this great God, this God of love. Where is this God of love? I'm here, and my child has Down syndrome. And because of that, my husband left me. And because of that, I cannot even leave the house to go out and buy groceries. I cannot even provide for my child. And you talk about this God of love? Why doesn't this God of love just come down and show himself in my little apartment? And he says, what do you preach after that? You know, this is like if you had congregations that were interactive. Like, what do you preach after that? And he said, but then, like the phone calls kept coming in. And one person said, hey, you know, like, I'm not far from where that lady is, and I'm a handyman, and I'm happy to do any work, and I'm happy to come and get some groceries for her. And another phone call came in from a pastor and said, you know, I pastor a church, and we have kids like that in our church, and we have a special group for them, and she now is a part of that church family. And all of these calls came in, and he ends by saying, this is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. And so within each one of you, you contain gifts of love. It's not up to the leader, but if you use your gift of love, it will change lives. That really will. I've witnessed it in my family's life. I witnessed it overseas. So our call is to love one another. None of us can do great things. Not all of us can do great things. Some can. Not all of us can do great things. But we can do small things with great love. So that's my call to you, okay? If you've got any questions about anything I've spoken about or the mission, I'd love to talk to you later. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I really appreciate it. May God continue to bless you and the church here.